This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
You visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman. Brad Underwood. Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Well, we made it. It is Friday, and it's The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, in and out. Hans D, we assume, will be here because it's Friday, and that's what he does. He works about an hour every Friday, whether we like it or not. He will have Who You Got at 5:30. Excited at 5:05. To visit with Ed Gibson and Derek Piper. Who exactly is Ed Gibson?
Head coach of Arizona Compass Prep. Player on his team you might recognize, Ty Washington.
Ooh.
Top 75 guard will make his decision on Sunday. Will sign during the early period that ends on Wednesday. Seems to be down to Illinois and Creighton. And Ty's been going crazy here to start this season. They've had five or six games. I think he's averaging upwards of 28, 29 a game. Okay. And we'll talk all about his game, maybe something about his recruitment with his coach, and look forward to doing that at 5:05.
So you still believe that Sunday will be the decision, and then you think by Wednesday he'll sign. So in other words, this isn't one of those like Adam Miller where we thought, all right, this is gonna take a while, and then boom, he signed. So this is one I think we'll find out Sunday, and if it is truly orange and blue, then by hopefully Wednesday, it'll be sealed up.
That's right, yeah.
I have a chance
to add one more next to Luke Goody and enter the spring period. If you were to have two top 100 players and still going after Mac, you'd be in a pretty good spot. Again, we've talked a lot about just the ability to add another guard into the mix when you lose Io and you lose Trent. If you pair him with Curbelo and Miller, you're pretty excited about that. So, yeah, he will. I don't know if he might even sign on Sunday. I know that he's going to tell people where he's going on Sunday, and the plan is to sign early, and he'll have until the end of Wednesday to do so.
Okay, so we don't know an exact time Sunday, or do we?
Not yet, nope.
Okay, so that'll be something, though, that we'll look forward to as we're watching some NFL and dealing with 50-mile-an-hour winds. Maybe the one good bright spot will be Ty Washington. Of course, the Bears play on Monday night, right, against
the Vikings.
That's right, against Dalvin and the Vikes. So I guess all day Bears fans Sunday, you just have to stay tuned for Illinois news.
And I don't have to fact check this. I got a text from my brother on the way over here that Matt Nagy has given up play calling for this week.
Oh, well, I know it was a hot topic, and I know he gets asked, it seems, every week, because there is an offensive coordinator, right, on this team?
Bill Lazor.
Okay. It might not be a bad idea. I always wonder if coaches, now I obviously have never coached at that high of a level or even college, because I'm bringing this up with regards to Lovie Smith, but I've always wondered if being the head coach and also assuming a coordinator position is just stretching yourself too thin, but maybe not. Like, I don't even know, is Nick Saban, does he handle either the defensive or offensive duties? He's more of a defensive coach, I think. So I don't know if Nick Saban handles that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, it'd be wise if he did, because he loses a coordinator every year, it seems like. But, you know, Lovie Smith, of course, who came in as kind of a defensive guru, and it's been anything but that in his tenure at Illinois, and as the head coach, and as that kind of a guy. I can remember, like, Ron Zook. Wasn't it Ron Zook that was just horrible with game management? And it was almost like, you know, Ron, why don't you just, as a head coach, you should be able to handle that kind of stuff, right? So I always wonder, like, is Matt Nagy, is there too much on his plate? But then again, Derek, if you're a guy known for your offense, I would assume that it would be hard to give up the wheel it'd be almost like you are a really good driver, and yet you're going to let somebody else drive the car. And it's like, no, I want full control of this. But maybe after a while, you just realize, well, I'm not getting it done.
Yeah, I know that when you get hired as an offensive mind, and he was the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid in Kansas City, the fact that then you're ceding that over to somebody else, I mean, what else do you do here now? I mean, I get it. No, we talked about you. Matt Nagy. I do think that he has the locker room, or at least he has in the past. I think that he's a very likable coach. I think he's a good motivator. But what you're supposed to be getting is a very good play caller, someone that's putting your offense in the best position. And I'm sure he's still involved in game planning.
True.
And all of that. I don't necessarily see things like you mentioned with Zook, where you're not calling timeouts at the right times, or you're not doing those type of deals where you're distracted. It's just this offense isn't getting off the ground.
Okay.
And I think the Nagy has a decent amount to do with it, but as I would respond, did we get a new quarterback and a new offensive line as well? If it's just a play caller, you still got a lot of issues.
And to your point, because it's a valid point in the fact that I would assume Matt Nagy can do both of those during a game and still make kind of the common sense calls, if you will, in terms of when a timeout should be called, what you're doing on this, et cetera. Should a field goal be kicked? Should you go for it on fourth? I mean, those are the kind of things that a head coach makes the ultimate decision on. But to that point, I then sit there and wonder, what has this offensive coordinator been doing during games? I mean, I assume, and I'm sure I'm correct, is that he's watching as well and seeing different things happening and suggesting to Matt Nagy, look, they're blitzing from the outside. Let's run a screen in the middle of the field or whatever. You know, I'm not going to get too technical. I can't. But, you know, you flip it back the other way and you're like, okay, you've got an offensive coordinator that's probably making pretty good cash. So what are you doing? So it's just funny. It's just a kind of a funny thing when you know that the coach does both. But we'll see. And if that's the case, we'll see if it improves anything. But I think to your second point, I think you're right. I think it just is all going to depend on your offensive line and quarterback, and those haven't changed. So I doubt anything looks dramatically different on Monday.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I know that Nagy just in general has a tendency for those cute little plays or just overthinking himself, and maybe you take some of that away. And look, offense is a lot about moving the chains, moving
sure.
the ball. So if you maybe would take away a toss to Cordell Patterson on fourth and two and find a way to move the sticks a different way, all of a sudden maybe your offense might be more productive. It just hasn't been anywhere close to good enough here recently.
I want to make sure that in the first like 10 or 15 minutes, I mentioned that Illinois is at Rutgers tomorrow, and we're going to talk about this at 4:30.
Yeah, we're going to try.
I don't think we're going to get too nitty gritty on this game with Rutgers, but certainly we're going to talk a little bit about what it means.
I surprised myself in my prediction. I don't even fully believe it. I think Jeremy was a little surprised when
I
sent it to him.
Well, you're 3-0.
I know. I'm risking it.
Which means you've predicted him to lose all 3 weeks, so I guess Illinois fans take that what you... No, I'm kidding. But you're 3-0, and I did see the prediction that you made. So we'll get that at the end of the show from Derek Piper as we go along. But Illinois and Rutgers, we'll talk a little bit about that at 4:30. And again, part of that will be, what does it mean? What does this game mean? And I think most of you get the idea of what I'm saying, because I think if you win this game, then that's great. And I'd be happy for the kids, and Lovie Smith would continue his dominance over Rutgers. If you lose this game, man, do you open up a whole lot of suggestions.
They're already there.
They're already there.
It's already open.
I'm sorry.
I think it closes.
There you go. That's a better way to put it.
It closes the book or any thought of it going any different kind of way.
Okay. That is
right?
Fair. Yeah, no, I'm with you. My mind's already made up.
Right.
I just haven't seen any kind of, you know, and I know we keep yelling it that it's year five, and I would hope that nobody would say, well, what's that got to do with it? Obviously, it has to do with it, because these are all his recruits, and these are a lot of these players played early in their tenure for the idea that by their junior and senior year, this team would be able to compete with not only the Rutgers and the Indianas. Granted, I didn't know Indiana was going to be 3-0. Kudos to Tom Allen. But with the Rutgers and the Indianas of the world, but that you could at least go toe-to-toe with a Wisconsin, with an Iowa and such. And, of course, you still have Iowa to play. But you went toe-to-toe with Wisconsin, and you got blown out on week one. So that is where the issue is. And my mind is made up. I think most Illinois fans, it's almost like going into Election Day this year. I'm pretty sure that most of the country, their mind was made up on which direction they were going, and I feel that's the case. if there is anybody still lingering out there, I would assume a loss in Piscataway on Saturday would certainly turn the tide on their thinking, because then it's the ultimate embarrassment.
Yeah, I think that would probably do it. And while we're on the subject, while we're here, I do think that no matter what happens, you're not going to see a change mid-season, because there's really nothing to gain.
No.
We kind of talked about this before the show.
Yeah.
But it would actually cost you more money. The buyout goes down to $1 million after this season.
Got it.
So in the middle of a pandemic, you're not going to decide, we're going to pay more for something to change mid-season. I don't think you name Rod Smith interim or whoever it's going to be, and you're going to get the type of results that you're going to pay extra for. It's something at the end of the season. Now, it will then amplify the talk around the program that's already there.
Right.
I mean, we might as well lead off next week with a hot board, head coaching candidates.
We might
as well talk to Jay Lehman about that if you're going to lose this game.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. But I just figured some will, if Illinois were to lose, say Lovie can't be on the flight back, you know, all those type of deals.
Right.
But I just don't think
I'd probably lead the parade. That day, I'd probably lead the parade on Saturday.
We'll see what you're saying tomorrow.
But that is very fair, Derek. And to your point, I mean, you just can't throw away $1 million. You just can't do that. And, you know, I know we take it for granted, we being the majority of us that aren't the heavy-handed donors that send in a lot of money for these kind of things. So we just can't take it for granted that, you just blow another million, whatever the case. Now, does it put your football program back a little bit by waiting until January? Certainly it does, probably a little bit when it comes to recruiting. And I think, if I'm correct here, didn't Lovie begin in January? And I think what I would do if I'm Josh Whitman, the next coach that comes in, I'm getting rid of that little clause. I don't know how you get rid of it. Maybe you can't, but certainly you're continuously putting your coach in a bad position. But I've mentioned before to you guys, and this is assuming, and granted, these are the same guys that are 0-3 right now, but if you get a lot of these guys back next year, or if you get 70% of the guys back next year due to COVID that can come back without any penalty, et cetera, and they get another year to play football, if you could at least get some of that experience back next year, at least you're handing the keys to a coach. To me, it's the perfect time to make the change, because you're handing the keys to a coach that would come in at least with some experience. And then, of course, still probably behind the eight ball a little bit, especially with recruiting this next class and even the class after. But at least then you've got a little bit of experience, like if a guy like Brandon Peters were to come back. And I know what we saw out of Brandon was not good in the Wisconsin game. And I know what we've seen out of Caron Taylor has not been good. And I don't know who's going to quarterback tomorrow. I don't know how good that will be. I think we will see a little bit of a marked improvement when Brandon Peters is back under center. You would think, you would hope.
You have to.
And if he comes back another year, along with some of those offensive linemen, then I would think at least that new coach could take over and have a few things that he could sleep at night, if that makes sense.
No, it does, for sure. And that's why, like you said, if you could work it to where you bring in a new coach in December, because now with the early signing, there's a signing period in December, there's a signing period in February. You would want to maybe get a coach as soon as you could to get on the recruiting trail and try to bring some recruits in, some transfers in, because you're probably going to lose some. You might even lose some candidates by having to wait till January.
That's
but
fair.
That's just the way the buyout is written.
Yep.
But I agree as far as having a coach who maybe, if you're trying to convince from leaving a certain spot, if you're just going to give them ground zero where there's nothing there, there's no chance to even be competitive the first couple of years, maybe they don't take the, even if it is, you know, $3 million or whatever it is, they're not taking that jump. Having a baseline of talent there, I know we're questioning now how much talent is really at Illinois, but just having some veterans, some experience, something, you know, that you're starting at a different point.
Yep.
I think that would help.
I think you're right. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But of course, you still got, what, 5 games to play this season. So I know I've seen it out there, those that are saying, well, look, you could still go on a little bit of a roll here. But, I mean, honestly, if you believe that after what you've seen, then I even came in last Friday and tried to give my last optimistic view of Illinois football, and that if you beat Minnesota, who had a horrible defense that then closed you down to 14 points, and then you beat Rutgers, all of a sudden you're 2-2, and then it makes the thing a little bit more interesting. But now, you know, after the Minnesota game, after getting blown out by a team that really, I mean, is should be better than what probably their 1-2 record speaks, but certainly came in here a wounded team and with a horrible defense, and then they ran all over you. And now all of a sudden you're expecting this team to turn it around? I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some people out there that are saying, look, you guys were having these same kind of discussions when Illinois lost to Eastern Michigan, then blew a huge lead in Nebraska and gave up 600-some yards.
And rightfully so.
And right, no, absolutely. and then Minnesota. You got axed up in Minneapolis against Minnesota, and we were sitting here, and we had a draft for coaches because that seemed right to do. Yep. And Illinois, they go on a run. They beat Wisconsin. They win 4 in a row, and respectable, went to a bowl game. But now that you're with how you started this season, with what your defense looks like, with, like you said, an opponent, a vulnerable opponent, Minnesota comes in here and just steamrolls you. Now that 4-game run, as you mentioned earlier in the week, it's a huge outlier.
Yes.
And it's
huge.
We're not seeing anything that's pointing towards another one of those coming. Could it happen? Maybe.
Maybe.
But I don't see any kind of signs.
I don't either. But you know what? I would be happy for the players. If they can catch a win at Rutgers, and then all of a sudden you get Brandon Peters back. Who do they play even after that? I've forgotten.
After Rutgers?
Yeah.
At Nebraska.
That's right. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And you've got some games this week in the Big Ten. I know there's one tonight that is a fun one. I can't wait to watch this. Iowa and Minnesota, even though both teams are 1-2, I think the season may be really kind of put back in place for one of these programs. For instance, if you're Minnesota, after you finally got off the schneid against Illinois, if you can somehow contain Iowa. Now, Iowa with their quarterback isn't going to run all over the place, and Minnesota's had an issue with those kind of quarterbacks. At least they did in the first 2 weeks. Then we'll see. We'll see if Minnesota can do that. And, of course, if you're Iowa, you get beat early in the season twice by close. Purdue beat them, and then I can't remember who else. Was it? Doesn't matter. Was it Northwestern?
Yes.
I think
yes.
That is right.
They were up 17-0 Northwestern.
That's right. So this is an Iowa team that if then you win at Minnesota, all of a sudden you could probably still salvage the season. So this is a big game tonight with Iowa and Minnesota, and then some other Big Ten teams, or games, excuse me, that we'll go through as we go along. All right. We're going to talk some more Rutgers and Illinois. We'll get to that this hour. Again, next hour at 5:05, Ed Gibson, head coach of the Arizona Compass Prep. He is the head coach of Ty Washington, who is smack dab on the radar of Illinois basketball coaches and is going to make a decision on Sunday. So we'll talk to Coach Gibson, find out about Ty's game, find out about why all of a sudden he's blown up like he has. And obviously, as a guy that was getting recruited by some teams, he's pretty good his first 3 years in high school, but certainly lately it's been crazy. And, of course, we'll do Who You Got at 5:30. Now, Ty, if he does come to Illinois, may never play in Columbia. Hopefully next year he's playing in St. Louis, back as the bragging rights game and the rest of the world gets back to normal. But for this year, it was concluded last night by an Andy Katz coin flip that the game will be in Columbia, and we said it wrong. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't throw you out on the bus, but we thought this was the case, that there would be fans allowed at that game. There will not be any fans allowed at the game against Missouri, but we do know, Derek, that possibly you are traveling to Columbia. I don't know if you've ever been. I think there's huge Bass Pro Shop, I believe, down in Columbia. No, that might be in Springfield, actually. So maybe on the way, you could hit Springfield, Illinois, and then maybe Springfield, Missouri's, hit a couple Bass Pro Shops. But then the game will be in Columbia. So, it is what it is. I know I saw a lot of tweets last night from Illinois fans saying, perfect. Well, in Tillman's career against Illinois, at home with a loss, we'll end Mark Smith's. Is he a senior?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Well, and him at home. I know Xavier or whatever, not Xavier Tillman. Who am I thinking of?
Xavier Penson?
No, who's the other kid from Illinois that's played like All-American?
Oh, Javon Pickett,
I'm sorry.
He's still got another year.
He would still have another year. But I guess in that sense, Illinois can go down to Columbia and in front of those guys on their home court in their Illinois bragging rights game on a loss. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you'd be all right with that. And in terms of how you calculate quad, and Trevor brought this up on Twitter. I thought it was a really good point. Quad one wins, quad three wins.
That was
all
a great
that.
Point.
Playing on the road, technically, which is kind of weird. I assume that they're still going to weight road games the same way. But as far as building your resume, why not play it on the road? Now, I'm going to have to ask off some time here with Baylor in Indianapolis,
in December?
At Duke, at Missouri. Yeah, I might not even be here.
You probably won't even. I'm fine with that.
You guys can call me.
As long as Illinois is winning, then I'm fine with you being gone because you're going to be covering winning basketball and we'll be talking to you about victories.
Sure.
But you're right because now it sets up a 10-day span. And I want to get back to Trevor's point. It sets up a 10-day span in December where you'll play Baylor, who that is a top 10 matchup in the country.
Number two in the AP poll.
Wow. And you are number eight. And then you'll play Duke, who I think is number nine.
Number nine, yep.
And then you'll play Missouri, who obviously isn't ranked, but we know what the bragging rights game brings. How about that week in Illinois basketball? I mean, it's not a week. It's 10 days. I'm sorry. But how about that stretch? That's a better way to put it. Baylor, Duke, Missouri. Sign us all up. Let's go. I think we're all ready for that.
Gets real, real fast.
Yes, it does.
Right after that first week of the MTE, and then you jump right into it. Opportunity for quality wins. Like we said, Missouri all of a sudden, assuming Missouri's just decent, if they're a decent team and you play on their home floor, it could be a quad one win, which obviously helps your resume. And then not long after that, you might have one more slotted in there that's maybe a cupcake.
Yeah.
But then it's Big Ten play.
Okay.
So that's a huge stretch that really is less than a month away.
Oh, my. And, of course, if you played that game at home and Missouri was kind of where they are, which we assume like 60 to 80 is what Trevor had mentioned in the rankings, let's say. In other words, I know they don't rank up to 80, but you know what I mean. They'd be somewhere fall between that 60 and 80 slot.
Your net ranking would be.
Your net ranking, yeah. Okay. So if you would play that game in Champaign and get the win, if you're Illinois, that then only counts as a quad three. So technically, when it comes to seeding, which if you're Illinois, you're really worried about this year in the NCAA tournament, you're not just worried about getting in. You're now worried about where you're at, what you're seeded, and a quad one win would carry more weight than a quad three. So in that sense, I guess it's good as long as you win the game.
Yeah, at this point, why not ask everybody to play on their home floor? Right. You know, be the road team the entire year. Like when you're UT San Antonio, just traveling around playing like five high major games in a row at their place.
Let's do it.
Of course, if you're Illinois, I think that there is still going to be some value. Anybody. To, you know, practicing at home, not going through travel, waking up in your own bed, that kind of deal. But, yeah, it does help you from a resume standpoint, and we'll see. I'm just glad that we get to see these two teams take the court against each other and can't wait to watch it.
I can't either. And the other thing, Derek, is you look at this basketball team, even worst-case scenario, you've got your four-team event that you should go 3-0. You should beat Missouri. And probably a fifth win against another team that you will bring to State Farm Center, whoever that is. That's 5-0. Even if you would lose to Baylor and Duke, and I know we don't like to talk about that, if you enter Big Ten play 5-2, the earth hasn't fallen.
No, it hasn't.
Right?
It hasn't.
I don't think the earth falls. The sky hasn't fallen. I'm sorry.
It wouldn't have fallen. You'd still have opportunities for those marquee wins on your resume. But let's be honest, you want to get one of those Baylor or Dukes.
Yes.
Especially when you're aiming as high as you are this year.
Amen.
You're thinking about a one seed. You're thinking about those along those lines, maybe even being ranked in the top five. Heck, let's just say it, being ranked number one in the country at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want one of those two wins. Because I don't know, again, Missouri could be a quad one, but it's not one that is going to
jump off the sheet.
Yeah, really just shine on the resume. Most likely, unless Missouri has a good year, which we're all hoping for. Not really.
No. Right, exactly. Let's just go 7-0 in the non-con. Or 8. No, yeah, 7-0. Let's go 7-0 in the non-conference and go into the Big Ten ranked top three in the country.
Sure.
I'm, again, signing up for something like that. One last question on basketball before we take a break. Tim and Decatur on the College of Aces text line, and shout out to Decatur. I love it. Sorry if I missed it already. How is Derek feeling about Ty? 50-50 question mark. You know you got to get this. This is part of why you make millions of dollars working both here and for the Illini Inquirer. I know that if you're an Illinois fan, I'll put it this way, you got the last visit, and I think, is it tonight they're doing a Zoom call?
I believe that's correct.
With Ty?
It was originally scheduled for last night, but he had a game, so
okay.
I think now it's tonight, which is...
What a poor excuse. He used a game instead. No, I'm kidding.
Less than 48 hours away from...
Wait, he's playing a game?
He's playing a lot of games.
What a novel idea.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry.
But he was in town a couple of weeks ago with his family, had visited Creighton early October. Now, these aren't coordinated visits with the staff. I mean, they can plan them, but they can't have contact with him.
Fair enough.
While they're on campus. I think it's between those two. Am I asking Andy Katz for the coin so I can flip it? I would lean Illinois, and I think that a good amount of people are doing that. But I would wait to hear a little bit more over the weekend just in case something...
That's fair.
Something concrete is out there. I think just because of its natural lean last visit and everything. Yeah. But I think Illinois has done a good job. It's about, is he willing to compete for minutes with Curbelo and Miller or buy into the fact that I can share the ball with them and play on the court with them? Because Illinois has maybe a tougher path to immediate opportunity versus Creighton.
Yeah, that's actually a tougher sell if you're Illinois. Which is a great thing. That's a good problem to have going forward in that you're selling the fact that, okay, hold on a second. Maybe at Creighton you're going to be able to jump right in. Maybe you're going to be able to shoot more or whatever. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to contribute more. Whereas if you come here, you're going to have to fit a role essentially. But certainly you could fit a role on a really good team and eventually you could be the man. And that's kind of the idea that what Illinois is selling. And I always laugh at like a spot that you're in because I've seen it firsthand where you've put a crystal ball to someone and not get it. And then I've seen the backlash of people saying, well, I don't trust Derek, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I know that's what you signed up to do. And there's certainly a reason guys like you put crystal balls on certain teams because you talk to insiders. You guys are more in the know whether anybody else out there likes it or not. A guy like Derek is more in the know. That doesn't mean you're going to be right 100% of the time. So we'll see. So I understand where you're going out on a limb to say that. I could sit here all day and say, well, he's coming to Illinois. There's no doubt about it. I don't know that from anything. So
maybe
we'll see.
Maybe you'll know after 5:05.
Boom.
No, we're not gonna. We're not gonna put him on the spot like that.
Can we do that?
No.
Can we ask Ed Gibson?
We're not going to ask for Ed's prediction.
Wouldn't that be funny at the very end question? I'm like, all right, coach, normally when we have guests on, we ask him to predict a score of a game. I'm asking you to predict the recruitment of Ty Ty. Is it Illinois or is it the Blue Jays of Creighton? Is he Catholic? Have you dug that deep into this recruitment? Because that's a Catholic school in Creighton, right?
Good call.
So maybe we need to look further into that. Maybe that's where the answer lies.
So let's just ask for some clues that might lead us.
Coach, you big, is Ty Ty big Ave Maria guy? You know, should I start singing the Ave Maria? That's a good song. You know?
Yeah, it is.
That is a kind of a, that's one of those songs that I normally would not sit there and listen to, but I have a Christmas CD that has that song on it. And when that plays, I turn it up. I love that because I'm jealous of how those guys and gals, when I say guys, I've said that 100 times, I mean everyone, how they can reach those peaks of an Ave Maria song. Who was the blind, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I know a listener will know this, 359-2255. Is it Bocelli, Andre Bocelli? He's a blind opera singer, and if you've never heard him sing Ave Maria, if I'm even saying it correctly, it is incredible. All right, I'll get back to the task at hand. So we'll visit with Ed Gibson, head coach, Arizona Compass Prep, Ty Ty Washington's head coach at 5:05. I'm literally just bringing stuff that like that up so that I don't have to talk as much Illinois Rutgers when we come back.
Perfect.
If anybody out there has a question about Illinois and Rutgers, Derek and I will do our best, or just about Illinois football in general, minus the Lovie Smith head coaching spot.
Or an opinion. Take an opinion.
Or an opinion in a heartbeat. On the College of Aces text line, 359-2255, Jason in Iowa is really digging low here. He wants a prediction for Iowa-Minnesota tonight. He needs help. He's on a cold streak betting. Well, then don't talk to me. Here's what I'd tell you, Jason. Bet the MAC on Wednesday, because that's where you can catch fire again.
That's your expertise.
Because last night I jumped right back on the bandwagon, and I lost big time.
I will say this. The Philo Godfather texted me for the first time in a while.
Wow, where's he been?
I don't know. He does say he's bugging me about we don't do Trev's ticket anymore, and he's kind of mad.
Oh.
But he said over tonight, over in Minnesota and Iowa.
Okay. I like that. I think it's 58.
That's high.
That is high. For an Iowa team that I don't trust to score. I know they just put up.
but
big points last week, but I'm not.
We'll see.
But he might
pass along information.
It's the Godfather in Philo, and we haven't heard from him in a while. He's not going to come out of hiding and throw something out that's not going to be correct. So there you go, Jason. Bet the over. That's what we're going to say. All right, if you want to weigh in again on the College of Aces text line, 359-2255. That, of course, area code 217. Follow us on Twitter. Just search at the drive 93.5. Can you do it without looking?
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also find us at tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter.
Wow!
Just search Tay and Piper or the Drive 93.5.
And if you're watching on YouTube, he flipped his paper around and did not have it on. That was awesome. Hey, it is Friday. Let's have some fun. We'll take your questions, 359-2255. You'd think I'd have that memorized, but I even looked over at the College of Aces text line note to make sure I'm saying the correct number. 359-CALL. It is the Drive.
Don't look now, but Christmas is right around the corner, is it?
Well, if you haven't made holiday plans for your family or business, the Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford will host private Christmas parties Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night for a guaranteed minimum of people. For more information, call Donnie, 217-568-7722. That's 568-7722 for more details. Don't wait until the last minute to make your Christmas party before the date is gone. Choose the Long Branch Steakhouse this holiday season, located in downtown Gifford.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana.
Dr. Jared Rogers, OSF Healthcare. We need a flu shot.
You surely don't want the flu and COVID at the same time.
What are you seeing at OSF with anxiety?
We've certainly seen an uptick in anxiety, you know, and just outright fear in a lot of people. So we see increased visits for that related to the pandemic. At OSF, we actually have an app that you can download. It's called Silver Cloud, and it then helps you, you know, digitally to manage your anxiety, manage your stress. And so a lot of people are doing that. It's free of charge, doesn't require a visit anywhere to see anybody. And then if you need other assistance, you can certainly still do that.
Is telehealth here to stay?
I believe it is. The ClearBot is on the OSF website, and you can access her by going to OSF Healthcare. She will guide you through what you believe may be COVID, or if you're even just worried about it.
Visit OSF Healthcare.
Sarah Champagne is growing. The same quality, the same neighborhood, but a new name, new brands, and new opportunities. Here's Executive Manager Ben Quattrone.
At Sarah Champagne, you're not just a customer, you're our guest. And we're proud to serve the great folks of Central Illinois. Please visit one of our four fantastic locations, and we'll service your current vehicle or help you find your next dream car.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Visit SarahChampagne.com. That's S-E-R-R-A Champagne.com.
Hey, Grandma, I haven't heard from you in forever. Why don't we message on the computer anymore?
I just don't trust the darn thing anymore. Viruses, people stealing my bank records. Why can't we just go back to the way it used to be? A handwritten note or a long Sunday evening phone call.
Grandma, you don't have to be scared of the internet anymore. Just contact Area Wide Technologies, 359-8041.
Thank you, Johnny. Now how about you message me that report card of yours?
Gotta go.
Hi, I'm Craig McDonald with the McDonald Group Real Estate Group, but we're not talking real estate today. We started a podcast called Champagne with Craig. Make no mistake, I love this community and those that make it great. We will have lively topics, amazing people that don't get enough credit for what they do in our community. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast channel, Champagne with Craig. That's spelled C-R-E-G, C-R-E-G, Champagne with Craig. I hope you listen.
Do you have anyone looking out for you when it comes to your financial decisions and future? Have you been wondering if you should talk with someone about your finances? No matter where you are and what stage of life you are in, especially during these crazy, uncertain times, you need to meet with Terry and Tim at Chesser Financial. Call me, Christy, for an appointment at 217-352-5828.
Securities offered through the Owens Equity Sales Company. Member FINRA SIPC, 701 Devonshire Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61820, 217-352-5828.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Okay, I got to clean up a few things on the College of Aces text line. Our own Diane Ducey. I did get Andre Bocelli correct. It's Ave Maria, and Ave Maria. I apologize to all of those out there. I said Ave Maria. I think I sing it as Ava. Ave Maria. Yeah, it is Ave. That's my bad. Lily and Muhammad on the College of Aces text line said, would you now consider Illinois a basketball school and Indiana a football school? No and no. In other words, Illinois, I think, has always been a basketball school, so I'm not now considering them a basketball school, and Indiana will never be a football school. I don't care if they won a national title. If they won a national title this year in Indiana, they would be four behind the basketball program for national titles. That will always be a basketball school. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But if you want to weigh in, 359-2255, we're forcing Trevor to join us this segment so that somebody else can help us talk Rutgers and Illinois. What are you guys looking for?
I was up front for 20 minutes, and somehow you guys started talking about opera.
Yeah, we needed you back. But it is Friday. Like, I feel like on Friday, I get the keys to just whatever topic I can comes into my head, which is dangerous.
What did Hans say? This is your playground on
this
Friday?
This is my playground. Yeah, it's a 30,000-watt play. I don't think we're 30,000-watt.
Probably would blow up if we were running through four outlets on 30,000 watts.
But I think KMOX in St. Louis is 50,000 watt. But I'm not sure what we are, but I don't think we're approaching 30. So, okay, I'll ask you guys again, what are you expecting tomorrow and what do you think we'll see? Derek, I'll start with you. What are you expecting and what do you think we'll see? And it could be the same thing.
I know what I hope I see.
Okay.
Can I start with that?
That's fine.
I hope I see Isaiah Williams.
Amen.
And we talked about this earlier in the week. I know he hasn't had a ton of time to practice, but we've seen Karan. I've mentioned it throughout the week. His QBR is like 12 or 16 or whatever it is. It's not good enough. He was 6-for-17 passing against Minnesota, one of the worst defenses out there. He had some fun plays against Purdue, but
yeah.
Isaiah is who we want to see, what we want to know, really what they have, because so far, there have been glimpses, but the glimpses haven't been all that encouraging as far as who he is as a passer. I'd like him to go in there and have a chance to make a few mistakes, but also make some plays and show why he was a highly touted recruit.
I'm glad you said it like that, because I was about ready to not counter you, but I was about ready to add that not that anybody cares, especially in the Illinois football program. I don't even care what Isaiah necessarily looks like. So, for instance, you had to throw Karan Taylor in against Purdue in a short notice because of COVID testing late in the week. He didn't have the buildup of a week that obviously Isaiah Williams hasn't had due to contact tracing. He's had to just sit in his bedroom, in his dorm or in his apartment, wherever he's at, for 10 days, I think, and sit there in quarantine. I guess if we're worried about that, I'm not. I don't care if he's rusty. I'm just ready to see what he can do minus two plays in a row, and then you don't see him again for another half. I just want to see more out of him. So do you think we'll see him tomorrow?
We have to, right? I guess if he hasn't looked great in practice, they could throw Karan back out there.
True.
And maybe they'll do the whole two quarterback, ride the hot hand or the less cold hand and see how that works. I don't know if that's necessarily what I want to see, because as I said, I don't think the game plan changes a whole lot between Taylor and Isaiah. I just want to see Isaiah. Like you mentioned, I'd like to see more Chase Brown, continued commitment to Mike Epstein, and the offensive line with Kramer back has to do some work.
I agree.
This Rutgers defense has given up second worst only to yourself on defense, 37.7 per game.
I want to see targets for Luke Ford.
Yep.
I want to see Kyron Cumbie out there. And unless he's hurt and we just don't know enough, I want to see Marquez Beeson out there. Those are the things that I want to see tomorrow. If I'm watching that, I'm going to watch the game. But if I'm really watching it with interest, it's those things. It's Isaiah Williams playing the entire game. If you want to bring Karan in for a package, whatever. I don't know why you do that, but yeah, correct. I want to see that. I want to see Cumbie get more time because I need to see speed. I want to see Luke Ford. I want to see the ball thrown at Luke Ford a few times. I want to see that, and I want to see Marquez Beeson. Those are some of the things that would make me interested in watching that game tomorrow.
Unless Isaiah seriously just can't throw. Like if he's skipping bubble screens.
Then I want to see that.
Well, you want to see
it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I almost was yelling at you.
Right. Literally, no, I agree.
That's what I want to see so that I can determine in my mind, well, the guy can't throw it 15 yards.
I at least know Karan has an arm.
Yes.
But accuracy, decision-making has been questionable. But, yeah, I want to see what Isaiah is, period, the good and the bad.
Trevor, what do you want to see, Mr. San Francisco Giant?
Oh, yeah, that's my backup hat.
Oh, okay.
I just felt like wearing something different.
Thought maybe
today.
You switched allegiances from the Cubbies.
No.
Okay.
Just big Hunter Pence guy.
I mean, his scooter was stolen, and they needed to find it. So
I can't stand that dude.
Crazy eyes.
He would go 3 for 4 against the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Hustle. It'd be like a hustle double.
And his personality perfectly mirrors the twitchy, weird things that he does on the field. He's a very odd, sort of eccentric person.
Yes.
So
yeah. I agree.
He's a very odd guy. Travis of Chicago. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you thank Karan for what he did, right? He came into a situation against Purdue where he literally hadn't taken hardly any reps that week and did okay. I mean, maybe he didn't do okay because he had 4 turnovers, 2 of which were basically returned for scores. But he didn't look, it wasn't such a disaster that you were going like Keyshawn Vaughn Wildcat, which they did at Michigan.
Good
when
call.
You were down to your 4th-string quarterback, right?
Good call.
So you thank him, you pat him on the back for doing that, but it's sort of like when a rookie comes up and he hits for a week and then everybody figures him out, right? Or I feel like there's almost like a 4th-string quarterback theory. Like the Cowboys just had it. Nobody's ever heard of that guy. He just came out there and had a pretty good game. He's probably never going to have that great a game again in his life.
Yeah.
Because he's the 4th-string quarterback.
Yep.
And there's a reason. And Isaiah clearly beat out Karan in practice. Otherwise, Karan would be the backup quarterback.
Correct.
And so unless the difference is so drastic between Isaiah, because remember, he didn't get back to practice till Thursday, as Jeremy mentioned, right?
Yep.
So we had Thursday and today, and that's it.
And that's why Jeremy did not think that he would start the game, but that you may see him.
But I still think the difference is going to have to be drastic in what they've seen the last 2 days to where an Isaiah Williams, who's kind of been sitting around for 10 days, is still significantly worse than a Karan Taylor that hasn't. And I'm not dogging Karan by saying that. It's just, this is your 5-star guy.
Yep.
He's got a nickname, Uno. They call him Uno because he's won. Like he's sort of like being branded as a thing.
Right.
And yet we've hardly seen anything from him. In fact, I would argue the best appearance you've seen from him in any capacity was at slot receiver in the bowl game.
That's a good call.
A few good plays. And so you want to know what you have. And I'm with you in that regard where I don't even care what it looks like. I just want to see a large enough sample size to where we can go. You know, I guess what I mean is, you shouldn't be sitting your 5-star backup quarterback to the 4th-string guy just because one has a slight advantage over the other. Like, that's not why you brought him here.
That's fair because if we see enough, and I know you can't use one game. I know you would have to have a couple of more games before this, but because of what I'm going to say, if we see and or don't see what we hope to see, maybe he is the slot receiver the rest of the time at Illinois. And certainly Illinois could use that.
But, man, is that disappointing if you consider that Beeson still hasn't done anything.
Right.
Maybe he's just injury prone.
I think Derek's
on
that.
And Isaiah is the slot receiver. I mean, that's a huge indictment on Lovie, frankly, that the two most heralded recruits of yours basically turn into nothing.
Yeah. I think Beeson, it's got to be injuries.
Yeah, it has to be.
Well, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying if he's hurt all the time, it's like, you know, kind of a sunk cost at a certain point.
That's true. That is true. I'm hoping Illinois can run the football tomorrow. They did pretty well against Minnesota, let's be honest. Chase Brown and Mike Epstein both ran the ball fairly effectively, and I think that's something that I'd like to see against a Rutgers team that already has a win this season. They threw up 27 points against Ohio State. Now, albeit I'm sure a lot of those probably were Ohio State was up and it was just kind of whatever. I didn't see that game, so maybe it wasn't. So I shouldn't say that. I'm hoping.
I know they were second half points.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay, then that makes sense. And I'm just hoping Rutgers doesn't come out and run up 30 on you. I mean, it's going to be bad enough if they beat you.
They shouldn't.
If they beat you and run up 30 on Lovie's defense, then maybe I will be chirping about he can just go ahead and fly back down to Tampa. I'll take it from here.
I mean, keep in mind their win against Michigan State, while good.
Yeah, seven
Michigan
turnovers.
Michigan State had seven. I know we harped on it, but I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as many turnovers as Illinois was getting in seasons under Tim Beckman.
Right.
And so, I mean,
maybe Illinois will cost them.
We need to pump the brakes, I think, on Rutgers. Like we were reading in that article, the Rutgers guy mentioned, you know, maybe it's time for them to start rising in the East. And it's like, all right. I think it's we need to pump the brakes on, like, well, in 2 years, Shiano's going to have him back to 9-3. Like, okay, slow down.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because they've got a lot of grad transfers. Well, he did it right. Not only did he do grad transfers, he did Big Ten grad transfers. Like, his quarterback is a former Nebraska quarterback. So he just went out. Shiano was just like, I'm just going to raid the league. And I guess it's working a little.
And there's no question that he's done a good job to make them look far more competent and competitive than anyone would have thought they would in these first three games. And even if it is Ohio State pumping the brakes a little bit, throwing in some second stringers and you're scoring points, that's better than some other teams in the league. Illinois could probably do against Ohio State that same situation. So
that's fair.
And against this Illinois defense, I mean, they're giving up 39 a game.
Yep.
And they haven't played Ohio State. They haven't played some of those other Indiana, some of those other higher scoring teams in the league. I would be afraid that Rutgers, not saying has their way and puts up 40, but that they do enough to make it. They're going to make it tough. They're the favorite in the game.
Yeah.
Can I throw a life raft in there?
Yeah.
Illinois has released some scheduling details for basketball.
Oh.
Thank God.
Wait. We need a transition. And you know what this means? After this break, I'm kidding. What are we finding out on Illinois basketball scheduling?
So the program has officially announced the MTE November 25th to the 27th. They will open the season on the 25th, which is a Wednesday, against North Carolina A&T. Ohio will play Wright State.
Are there times?
No times quite yet.
Okay.
On Thanksgiving, Illinois will play Wright State. I believe that's believed to be the toughest of the three opponents.
Fair enough.
And then Friday, Illinois against Ohio. Illinois has also announced that they will, in fact, be part of the Jimmy V Classic, facing Baylor on December 2nd.
Okay. So basically what we knew, but now confirmed on that. And that'll be kind of fun. I mean, Thanksgiving's always pretty fun anyway to just eat as much as you can and then just chill out and watch football. Now we have basketball to watch. Wasn't that a few years ago when Illinois played on Thanksgiving?
Don't even bring it up.
Was that West Virginia?
It was Florida State the day of Thanksgiving, but it was West Virginia the day before.
Right. When we could not get the... No, I thought that was Thanksgiving Day.
The West Virginia game?
Yeah.
It was Thanksgiving Day. I had to cover that.
When we couldn't get the... Like, Illinois couldn't get the ball across half court.
We've been working on it all summer.
Yeah, that was the... We've been training for months for the full court press.
Oh, my. All right, so we're due, as Harry Black would not agree with, we're due to win on Thanksgiving.
Is that going to be on TV?
I would hope.
It's kind of a random matchup. Illinois-Wright State with everything going on Thanksgiving.
I'm hoping Big Ten. Yeah, I'm hoping Big Ten
ESPNU.
Network.
ESPNU.
I'd hope so. I don't want BTN Plus on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I know. Even if the game Wednesday and Friday is on BTN Plus or whatever, or ESPN Plus or whatever that.
It'd just be a buzzkill after all this to not really be able to widely access the first game of the season.
Agree. And we don't know that yet. They haven't announced times or if it's going to be televised. So that is...
Surely these TV networks are going to want to make as much money as possible.
Yeah,
stagger as many of these games, like BTN. Okay, Indiana, what are you doing on Thanksgiving?
Yep.
Around the league and just do a full marathon.
Well, you're a top 10 team in the country.
That too, yeah.
You know, that's the other thing is that this isn't Illinois 3 years ago against Wright State. This is a top 10 team in the country. And that makes me think maybe that Illinois-Missouri game, maybe ESPN will pick that back up. Because for right now, the home...
I think that's SEC Network.
Is it for sure SEC? Ugh. I don't know why, to me, that just seems like it lessens the game. Yeah, hell yes, it lessens the game. I want it to be, I know SEC Network is probably national, but if you're on ESPN, it still carries the weight of a national televised game that Illinois and Missouri have been forever, and now all of a sudden it's been downgraded only on the Big Ten Network or only on the SEC Network. I just don't like that.
I agree with you, and ESPN owns SEC Network, right?
Yeah.
So if Illinois were to win one or both of the Baylor and Duke game, what if Illinois is number one or number three or whatever it may be? You don't think ESPN is going to flex it into the mothership or ESPN2? I would imagine they would look to do that.
Well, no, because it'll be Duke against Coastal Carolina that day, and they've got to show Duke.
Well, and similarly, to Derek's point, BTN is owned by Fox at the end of the day, and so sometimes they have flexed like a Ohio State football game from BTN to FS1 or something, so they might be able to do that.
I hope. I mean, I get it doesn't matter. I can see both. It's just the perception of it. The perception of it for so many years, that Illinois-Missouri bragging rights game on that day around Christmas on ESPN.
Big-time announcers wearing Santa hats.
Exactly.
With the decked-out booth with the garland on it and stuff.
I mean, some dude in Arizona was like, oh, hey, I forgot it. It's Illinois-Missouri. That's always kind of a fun game to watch. So he would watch it, or she. But now that dude in Arizona might not have the SEC Network, so he doesn't watch it. All right, when we return, Ty Washington's head coach, Ed Gibson, joins us. Cannot wait for this. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.